Hello, this is Jim. Michael. Okay, Michael from Ashland.
And I heard about some going on at the park.
You heard about it?
Last week or the week before?
Yeah, can I ask who you are, sir?
Michael.
Michael. Lee. Michael, how?
Lee.
Michael Lee. How old are you, Michael?
37.
Are you with the like the staff or with the teaching or eldership at the at that religious body?
Yeah, I go to that church.
You go to that, so you just go there. You're not a teacher, or pastor, or anything.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, and you're not. Yeah, you weren't. Obviously, you're 37. You're not one of the young people that approached me in the park.
Nope. But nope. I have a boy that did.
Oh, one of the boys. One of the boys was there.
Yep, and I got him on speakerphone, and we feel like that. He should probably call you and apologize.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for being the disrespectful. And I know there was some swearing going on, and we don't agree with the swearing. We hold that to be a sin.
Yeah. Yeah, there was quite a bit of stuff going on there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I heard, that there was quite a bit of what we call disrespect anyway.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I'll tell you is I'm a traveling street preacher, and I go out in the street, and I go to events. We preach at the Super Bowl. We preach at all over the place. And that I tell you what, that account that day with all those youth, that took me back a little bit. I'm not surprised by much, sir. But knowing that that was a church youth group, that was pretty... Yeah, it was pretty something to me. Yeah, it left me a little bit speechless. My wife will tell you, I was shaking my head a little bit going, I can't believe that happened. Those kids go to those. And I will say this, I looked up and I'm still looking up and researching your religious body, but you guys look to be a little bit different than your typical Roman Catholic or Lutheran place. So that made it even more surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because I run into a lot of worldly people that go to church, but... I would have thought from your body that there would be a little bit more order and control in the youth. And again, I'm an old man, but I was young once. I understand. But to see a whole gang, I just call it a gang, to see a gang of them all acting that way, it was pretty overwhelming to me.
Yep. And I was young once, too, and I do know kind of how the youth are when they're not around the adults.
And this is one of the things, as I spoke to them and I tried to entreat to them, I preached the gospel to them and I tried to entreat to them not to rely on man-made Sunday religion and man-made rules. And I told them, I said, one of the things that the scriptures would teach you is that Apostle Paul says bad company corrupts. And hanging out with a bunch of youth, unsupervised, boys and girls, and then add to it. So that's a recipe, I think you would agree, that's a recipe for disaster right there. Now, nothing good's going to come of that. And then I found out that some of them were 20 and some of them are like 14 and 15. That is not a good thing. And so I believe the scripture teaches that young people should not be together unsupervised without the adults and the parents there. I just believe that because that's how we're supposed to keep ourselves pure. Amen?
Right.
Go ahead.
What's that? I was going to say that I do feel that it's kind of impossible to keep them all the way until they're 18.
I don't think that's impossible at all. I mean, if we teach that we're to be holy as followers of Christ and be separate, it becomes a lifestyle. And you lay down your flesh and you lay down your desires. I mean, you know what I saw that? It was Thursday or something. When I saw them in the park, all they were doing was hanging out and playing volleyball. How hard is it to stay out of a park and not play volleyball?
Because are you thinking that they should play it at, like, my house?
Well, what I'm thinking is Titus 2 says the youth should be sober-minded. And how do youth get sober-mindedness? Well, they're going to get it from the Word of God. If they're born again, and I hope you and I can go over the gospel together. If they're born again by the Spirit of God, they'll get maturity and they'll get soberness from the Spirit of God. But let's say before they're even born again, before they come to the realization of all that, they get it from the adults. The adults are to be the example. And so young boys should be hanging around the men all the time, learning to be godly men, walking in the ways of God. And the young women should be around the women, learning how to be a godly woman. Eventually, most of them, you don't have to get married, but most of them would probably end up married and having children. But to put them together, well, I can prove it doesn't work because I saw the fruit of it. I saw the fruit of your body in the park that day. It don't work. And it's not scriptural to do it. So yeah, you should keep them separate, you know, but I don't know what you guys believe. I'm still learning and trying to find out what you guys really believe. I believe in like hands-off courtship, which means if a young man's interested in a young girl, she would go to the father and inquire, and then the father would talk to her, and if she's interested, then if they're both of age and they're both believers, then they would begin a courtship where he comes to her house, he's around the family, she comes to his house, she can be around his family. They're never alone. He doesn't drive around in the pickup truck. He doesn't take her to the park. That's just inviting the door to lust and fornication, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're alone with the opposite sex, that's...
Well, let me tell you, I saw a lot of aloneness without other people around in the park that day. And then add to it both how your young women dress and how the young men dress. They're not carrying themselves biblically. And I did approach that subject, and they said, well, when we go to church, we dress different. And I said, is God not everywhere? Are we not to carry our temple?
We believe that God is everywhere.
Well, but we're supposed to clothe our temples the way God ordained and what he required. And what we see is most people put like nicer things and more biblical. I don't like the word modest. That's a terrible translation in the King James. The word modest means neat and orderly. That doesn't have anything to do with the kind of clothes. A bikini can be neat and orderly. It's not biblical. What women are to wear, according to the scriptures, is neat and orderly, katastole in the Greek. That's a robe, as a dress. And when I see young church girls running around in a park with young boys with shorts on, this is not godly. And then the boys are with them, and they're just enticing the boys, and there's no adults around, and look what happens. You know, I just want to say this. I have a video of what happened. And there was one, I'm just going to say one, he was an odd young guy. I'll just say that. He was an odd young guy, and he had a strange voice. But he was very nice. At one point, he said to me on video, as I was talking to this group of teenagers, and there was like 10, 15 boys, and there was a couple of big boys there. There's a couple big boys there. I mean, I weigh about 200. These guys beat me by 100 pounds. There were some big boys there. And the one guy said to me, are you afraid? Do you think we're going to get aggressive? And I did say on camera, no, I don't think so. But, you know, I said to my wife afterwards, I said, I kind of did that to break tension. And I don't know, maybe at the second, I didn't think so. But, you know, I did have that feeling. They were like encroaching in on me, and they were getting more disrespectful. And I'm just sharing with you that nothing good comes when the youth are not trained biblically, and then you let them run together in a pack, in a gang. And instead of talking about the things of God, they got, like you said, very disrespectful, and it got really ugly. Your son will be the second boy that's called me, so I'll give you that. The fathers are holding their sons to better behavior, but I think it's deeper than that. I think you can't just tell them they got to behave better. I think it's a matter of spiritual state and theology and practice there that I hope that you guys will take stock of this and go, you know, we got to do better for God's glory.
Yeah, and I will say that one thing is the devil, he's pretty strong, and that's definitely when the devil gets in there, he can make you do funny things.
Well, it's true, and I agree with that, but here's the thing. So the youngsters can be influenced by that much quicker, and seasoned men need to be around to guide them and discipline them and tell them, guys, you know, don't be acting that way. And you're right. they act very different around grown men, don't they? And see, yeah. And that's okay. And what was your first name again?
Michael.
My big concern, Michael, is that whenever I see religious people like putting on special things to go to a building, putting on special behavior in front of elders, that leads me to believe it's not the spirit of God in them. It's a bunch of man-made rules. And we must be born by the spirit of God. And but you called and you have your son there. So let's cover that first.
Okay. Yeah, he's on speakerphone, so he just wanted to apologize for it.
I just wanted to say sorry.
Yes, sir. I appreciate. I hope for that this is genuine repentance. And
I feel it is.
And I hope that you heard what I was saying to your dad, that we don't just follow rules and we don't just behave around the adults. That God, our God, is always watching. And knowing Christ and being a Christian and being set for heaven and hoping to go to heaven is a lot more than just going to church on Sunday, doing what the elders tell you. You must, I'm going to preach the gospel to you. I did it in the park, but I'm going to preach again real quick. Christ came and shed his blood to cover our sin and rose again to defeat death. We can't walk in sin. We must repent. I told you, young people, you had to change your mind about your ways. When smoking came up, one of the young men said, smoking's not a sin. And I said, oh, you're destroying your temple. You have to change your mind about all sin. And you have to come out of all false ways, which is sinful. And the real fruit that you're following Christ is, are you born again? Have you had a time in your life, not going to church, not born into a religious system, where you've been transformed by the Spirit of God and you now see things different, you act different, you talk different, you learn the scriptures, you dress different, you come out of the world. And the gospel, faith in Christ, his shed blood, repentance, being born again, the fruit, not that you go to church, like we talked about in the park, not that you just keep some rules and be good around dad and the pastor and the elders. No, the fruit is holiness and obedience. To follow Jesus is to obey Jesus. And what I fear, I love you guys, what I fear is you're obeying a man-made religious system, named after a man, by the way, and you're not following the full word of God. And the last part of the gospel is you have to endure. You don't get eternal life guaranteed today. You don't get it by just keep going to church. You have to endure in that biblical faith of repentance, walking in your new spirit, you're born again, and obeying God to the end. So that's the gospel I'm preaching to you, and I hope that this repentance and all the things that I said to you in the park will kind of stick in you, and you'll go and you'll test every word I said. But I hope that you test your man-made religious system. Does that sound fair?
Yeah,
because hanging with a bunch of youth, you know, I told one young guy there, he said, what are we supposed to do? And I said, well, when you're outside of church, what do you do? He goes, well, I work. And I said, okay, that's good. Outside of work and outside of going to church, what do? And he goes, well, we hang around and we play volleyball and stuff like that. And I said, shouldn't young men be about the gospel? And he kind of looked at me. He goes, well, preachers at the church. I said, no. I said, Jesus said, go into the world, preach the gospel. Our neighbors are dying and going to hell. And if we play volleyball more than we go out and tell people about this glorious Savior, do we really love our neighbor?
I see where you're going.
The two great commands, love God, love your neighbor. And if us men, either single men or men like me, my children are all raised and my wife and I travel full time and I street preach and I teach on my website, if we're not about the things of God, who's going to do it? Because only so many people will enter your building on Sunday. How many people come to your building every Sunday, roughly?
If I was to guess, I'd say somewhere around 1,000.
Oh, wow. It is. That's a lot. Okay. That's a lot. But you know what? There's a lot more than 1,000 people who live in that part of Wisconsin, isn't there?
Right.
And there's a whole bunch of people not going to any religious group. There's a whole bunch of people going to a whole bunch of false religious groups. There's a whole bunch of people that are Wiccans. There are people that are New Agers. People that are atheists. I just was at, I preached at the Muskie Festival and had a wonderful talk with two young atheists, a young couple. So if we don't go out in the world and preach Christ, but we're playing volleyball and we're hanging around and we're being goofy, this is not redeeming the time, is it?
I guess we don't feel that we need to preach it 100% of the time.
Well, I didn't say 100%. I told these young men, I said, there's nothing wrong with going for a walk in the woods. There's nothing wrong with going to catch fish for dinner. There's nothing wrong with going out in the woods and shooting a deer to put meat in your freezer. But I asked one of the young men, what were Paul and Peter and John and Jesus, what was their lives consumed with?
Fishing.
No, after they were called of Christ.
Yep, fill me in.
Have you read the scriptures? Their lives were filled with just living for Christ, preaching the gospel, going out to tell the lost, going to religious places to call them out of their sin. To their death, they were murdered for it. They didn't go and go fishing all the time and just hang out with each other. They were workers of the Lord. And this is what I'm concerned about, religious systems. They teach you how to go to church on Sunday and listen to your preachers. But I fear the fruit that I see from people that go to Sunday church, they're not born of God. And even though these two young men that have called to repent of this is good. This is a good thing. If their dads are just making them do it, it's a shallow thing. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying this. If their dad is making them do it and they didn't really want to do it, and then they don't go deep in the scriptures and they don't really walk in the ways of a born-again man and they're not really holy in all their ways and they're going, you know what, I don't want to be around young girls that I might be tempted to. I'm going to stay around. I'm not doing that no more. I'm going to go out, I'm going to study, and I'm going to serve Christ. If they don't do that, I fear the fruit of your young people is a bunch of unregenerated young people. And probably if I showed up at your building, a bunch of unregenerated adults as well. And you're hearing that from a man who travels full time, been doing it for years, all over America, and I see it in religious buildings literally every week and every day from people I talk to. False gospels, dead man-made religion, people not following Jesus. Do you guys understand the difference between following Jesus and keeping religion?
I can't really put it into words, but I can. If I'm reading you right here, following Jesus is, like you're saying, going out and preaching to the world.
Well, hold on. Beyond that, not everybody's going to do what I do. Not everyone's going to be a street preacher. Not everyone's going to be a teacher. But everyone should be able to preach the gospel, and everyone should be a worker of God. And that should be their sole purpose in life, along with if they have a wife and children to support, then they got to support their wife and children. But no, first following Jesus is repenting and seeing who he is and being born of his spirit, that gospel I preached to you. And then the fruit that you're born of his spirit is not that you follow the old apostolic Lutheran ways. No. Or you follow Brother Jim's ways. No. The fruit is, are you following Jesus Christ and keeping his word? Jesus said, go preach the gospel, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And that means everything that is in the moral law in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, and that's everything that's in the New Testament for us today, and that's what Paul taught, what Peter taught, what John taught. These are all commandments. And religious people don't do that. Religious people are usually some way linked to the world. They're worldly, they dress worldly, they act worldly, but they clean themselves up on Sunday to go to church. Do you see what a stench in God's nostrils that is?
Yeah.
What if, let me ask you a question, are you married, Michael?
Yep.
Okay. What if your wife was only loving and faithful to you when you were around on the weekends? What if she acted like a whore and a harlot during the week, flirting with men, running with men, dressing different, but when her husband comes home, she cleans herself up. Would you call her a faithful wife?
No.
No. That's religion. You live all week outside of the commandments of God, and then on Sunday you go and you follow a bunch of traditions of men, which Jesus said, according to Mark 7, and I preached this in the park that day too. Mark 7, Jesus says, howbeit you teach the traditions of men, you void and you worship God in vain. And that's what your Sunday religious systems are doing. Let's talk about this for a second. You're named after Martin Luther. Do you know who he was?
Yeah.
Do you know how wicked of a man he was?
Yeah, I've heard.
Well, are you happy being named after him?
I guess I don't look at it as that way. I just look at it as that's my name.
Is Christ?
I don't think I was named after him.
Is Christ honored by putting a man who hated the Jews and wanted to drown them? Is Christ honored by naming yourself after that man?
No, I mean.
Yes or no, Michael?
I'm not looking to
yes or no, Michael? Is Christ honored by naming yourself after a murderer?
If I was named after a murderer, no, he wouldn't.
Well, and you put it right on your spiritual building. Oh yes, Martin Luther, even though, you know, people say to me, he never murdered anybody that we know of. What did Jesus say? How do you murder somebody?
By evil thoughts.
Yeah. Martin Luther said, you know how you baptize a Jew? Tie a rock around his neck and throw him in the river. Did you know that Adolf Hitler used Martin Luther's writings to make the people hate and murder the Jews?
I didn't.
Yep, it's true. Martin Luther was not a biblical man. He still prayed to Mary. He still believed in baptizing babies. He was a wicked heretic. He taught a false gospel. Here you go. Do you guys do Christmas and Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday? Those are pagan holidays instituted by the Roman Catholics, not God's word, and Martin Luther propagated them, brought them with him, and today you're doing them. Didn't Jesus say we have to worship in spirit and truth?
Yeah.
Did you know Christmas is a lie? He wasn't born on December 25th.
That's what we hold as a holy day, though.
But who makes holy days?
The world does.
Who makes holy days? Man or God?
God.
God didn't make it a holy day. Do you see how you're practicing false traditions and you're worshiping God in vain, per Jesus?
Yeah, I guess I really didn't call to debate it at all.
I understand. I appreciate, but
what went on.
Yeah, but this is my opportunity because I love you guys as my neighbors. To call you out of that man-made system. If you stay in that man-made system that your youth showed the fruit of it, if you stay in that, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You must repent of that.
Yeah, and we believe that if we do stay in it, we will make it to heaven.
But that's not what the Word of God teaches. Let me ask you a question. Do you guys believe that I have to be part of that religious system to go to heaven?
No, you just have to believe that Jesus died for your sins.
Is that the gospel that you preach? Just believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
That's it.
I believe it's a simple Christianity.
So, so we don't have to repent? Jesus said, repent lest you perish. We don't have to repent?
Yeah. You should repent for your sins. But that's not what get you to heaven.
Really? So can a practicing homosexual practice his homosexuality, believe in Jesus, and go to heaven?
Yeah.
He can?
We believe that. Yeah, if he repents and he believes.
But now you're saying repentance. Repenting's... Hold on. You just said believe only. Now you're saying he has to repent. So if he repents, he has to leave his sin, right?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to believe if you're not repenting of your sins.
So now you have to believe in Jesus. Now you have to repent. But you didn't say that before. Now, do you have to be born again by the Spirit of God?
You'll have to explain it a little different.
You don't know what being born again is?
Yeah, it's repenting of your sins.
No.
Born again.
No. No, Jesus talks about it in John 3. It's a spiritual new life within you. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we become a new creation. We think different. We live different. We act different. We dress different. Because the Spirit is now in us, not religion. The Spirit of God. So, it's not just believe in Jesus. You have to believe in His shed blood and His resurrection. Do you believe Jesus' shed blood is important?
Yeah.
Do you guys believe Jesus is fully God?
Yeah.
You do? You do?
Jesus and God are the same.
Oh, Jesus.
One God.
One God, but do you guys believe in the three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Yep.
Okay. So, faith in that Jesus, repentance, which means turning away from sin, but see, if you live in man-made religion and keeping pagan holidays and named after a murderer and all the many other things that are unbiblical about your body, how have you repented? You haven't turned from your sin. You have to leave your sin. The Bible always calls us to forsake our sin. If you sit in it, you haven't left it. Those boys were smoking. If they don't throw their cigarettes away, repent of it, and say, I'm never going to smoke again, and they keep smoking, they haven't repented of it. They're going to be judged for that sin.
Well, you can repent of it, but then if the devil tempts you again and you fall.
Right. Right?
Because that devil, he's strong.
Yep, so what do you got to do then? So you're a smoker, you repent and quit and throw them all away. 3 months later, you start smoking again. You think that sin is still covered now that you picked it up again?
No.
You got to repent.
Repent of it again.
You got to repent of it again. So it isn't just...
You also need to pray.
Yep.
Pray that you can have the strength to stay quit.
Amen. So it isn't just believe in Jesus. Jesus made the way for us. He's the only way. But we have a part. We repent. God gives us His Spirit. Now we walk in holiness and obedience. The Bible says He made the way, Jesus Christ, for those who obey Him. If you're not obeying God, He didn't make the way for you. You're not His child. Jesus said, why do you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments? In Matthew 7, He turns a whole bunch of people away that said they did a bunch of religious works in His name. Do you know why He turns them away?
No.
He says, you're workers of iniquity, sin. You sin. So, see, the gospel that your body preaches is not biblical. You don't just believe in Jesus. You believe to action. You repent and leave sin and false traditions and man-made religion, which you haven't left yet. You're born again. When you're born again, you begin to go deeper in God's word. You obey. You come out of the world. You leave the pagan holidays. You dress different. You know, the Bible teaches men and women how to dress. You guys don't teach that. The Bible teaches from...
Believe.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
The Bible taught all the way back in Genesis 3, right when God ordained marriage, that He put us in tunic-like garments. Your boys saw me dressed that way because these clothing are a sin covering. And God shed blood in Genesis 3, an archetype of Jesus, and covered mankind. And you know what? That law never changed. The prophets all wore them. Jesus wore them. The disciples wore them. We get a robe, a new robe, when we get to heaven. So we're to dress our temples appropriately. What do people that are religious in this culture do? They dress to the culture. Jesus is coming back to judge the culture. You must, if you're His sheep, you must cover your temple appropriately. Women must cover their head and wear dresses. Not just covering your head in a religious building. The Bible teaches that a woman's hair is her glory. Her hair needs to be covered from everyone except her husband, where she can show her nakedness. Only there. And you guys don't teach that. So the gospel is so much more. And again, I'm going to say, I see the fruit in the youth. And I love you, Michael, but I see the fruit in you that they haven't... Did you grow up in that system?
Yep.
They haven't taken you deep in the scriptures and they haven't taught you. And so I see the fruit in you too that you say one thing, well, you just believe And then we say, well, can practicing sinners go to heaven? Well, no, but you guys are all practicing sin. And you expect to go to heaven?
I hope I make it there.
Well, the only way you're going to make it is if you place your faith in Christ. His shed blood will cover your sins if you'll repent and forsake them, which includes your man-made religion named after a murderer man. And you must be born again by His Spirit. I don't know that you have been. You'd have to tell me. But if you have been born again, you're in rebellion because the Spirit of God, He'll call you out of man-made religion. You know, Jesus and Paul did not ordain all these man-made names, you know. Roman Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, Old Apostolic. Who made up all these things?
Not sure.
Man. Man has made all these up. You're following man's ways, not God's ways. So I love you guys. I'm still working on my testing. I might finish it tonight. I might have some audios up there. I'm audio recording right now. I always do for safety purposes. And I just want people to know the truth. This isn't an out to get you guys. This is to call you to repentance so that you'll see how lacking your religious system is. And you're failing your young people. And most importantly, you're failing our Savior. And I want you to repent and find new life. And if you choose to do that, I'll come back and help you guys. But if you stay in that dead man-made religion full of false ways, you have no hope, Michael.
Okay, well, I feel like that this is a true living faith,
but,
saving faith.
But so. You can't back that up with the Word of God.
I don't read as much as I should, so I'm not as...
So let me ask you a question. If you say you're a Christ follower, you're 37, if you're not well versed in the Word of God, how do you even know if you're following Jesus the way He wants you to?
Well, I believe that it's just believing that Jesus died for your sins.
But that's not all there is to it, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." And He said, "You are my friend if you keep my commandments." In John 15, He said, "Abide in me, and if my word abides in you, you will abide in my love." You guys aren't abiding in His word. You're keeping a bunch of man-made traditions. You're going to be cast out on the day of judgment. You're going to be the guy in, go read Matthew 7. "Lord, we did this in your name. We did this in your name." And Jesus says, "I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." Iniquity is sin. They didn't keep His commandments. That's what I fear for you guys. And do you go on the internet, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. I gave gospel cards out to the youth. My website is don'tperish.com. And
okay.
My testing, don't perish. P-E-R, not Roman Catholic A-R. Don't perish. .com. And I'm going to have a testing up on my Unbiblical Teachers blog. It's already up there, the testing on your church. I just haven't finished it yet. And I want you to go there and test yourself and see where you're lacking. And go to the Scriptures. You're going to be judged by the Word of God. Did you know that? Not your Lutheran system. You're going to be judged by the Holy Word of God. That's what I told your son and those boys in the park. You should know the Word of God, because you're going to be judged by it. And if you're not living it, it's the fruit that the Spirit of God's not in you. Because see, I told the boys and the girls this. We weren't born this way. My wife covers her head, wears a dress. I wear a tunic. We've come out of the culture. We weren't born this way. We were drunks and partiers. But we truly had to repent and be born again. Right? And when we did that, we had to leave man-made religion. My wife was a lifelong Lutheran. When we learned that Martin Luther was a murderous man, she left that so fast. Light and darkness doesn't go together, Michael. And keep this in mind. Do you guys believe Jesus is coming back?
Yeah.
You know, He's coming back to destroy everything man created. That includes your religious system. and he's coming with a flaming sword, 2 Thess 1 I'm quoting, to destroy all those that do not know God and do not obey the gospel. You guys aren't obeying the gospel. You're obeying man-made religion. So you go to that testing. Do you get texts?
Yep.
Would you? Could I send you a link to that testing?
Sure.
Okay, I'll text you when I have it done. A link to that testing. And then here's my offer to you. Is your son still on the line?
Yep.
Okay. I made this offer too. Anyone, man, not women, if I've got something wrong, I want to hear from you, one of the boys, one of the men, one of your elders, one of the pastors. Bring me the word of God and show me what I've got wrong. I'll repent and fix it, whatever I've got wrong. My question is, what will you guys repent of and fix? Most religious people tell me, yeah, Christmas is pagan, we know it, and they keep doing it. That's not the fruit you're born of God. So I'll text you the link, and I'd love to hear from you and talk about it more.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
All right, I appreciate the talk. Thank you for your son calling. Of course, I forgive him. And not me to forgive, God has to forgive, but it's a deeper issue. I want you guys to test yourself. That was God appointed that I met them. Don't miss this chance. God's worker is bringing you the truth out of that man-made religious system. Don't miss this chance to receive the truth, not me, Christ, his word, his ways. On judgment day, you'll stand before God and God will say, I sent you my worker. Like in the Old Testament, God sent them his prophets. I'm not a prophet. I'm a worker. I'm a messenger. And God will say, I sent you my messenger. You disregarded the message. You disregarded me. Don't do that, okay?
Okay.
Hear the word of the Lord and test yourself, and I'll send you that text. And I'm here to help any of you guys. You can email me, call me, text me, go to the website I post every day.
All right. Sounds all right. Good.
We love you all, and I'll send that text.
All right.
All right. God,
I'll wait for it. Thanks.
God be praised.
Bye.